We will call to order the Wednesday, July 7th, Commission of Lebanon Public Safety Subcommittee, and we are in a public hearing and work session on House Bill 2273. I'll have a report from staff.
Thank you, Mr. Westman. Committee members, House Bill 2273 comes to you from the House Judiciary Committee on Criminal Law that passed out unanimously. In its engrossed form, the bill would have classified all assaults on correctional officers as a Class C felony, as well as all assaults that involve propelling dangerous substances, public goods, primarily. In its amended form, the Senate amended Ways and Means with the permission of the bill sponsor, Chair Mannix, the co-chairs, to in a compromise fashion to provide that propelling of substances are classified as assault 3, Class C felonies. However, that all assaults on officers would have to stand on their own merits as they do now, which is to say it could qualify as a Class C felony if certain criteria are met, but that it's not an automatic Class C felony for assaults unless they're at them at a OYA facility. In current form, the bill has a fiscal impact, and it takes a copy of that for you, a 9901 impact of approximately $146,000 for the Department of Corrections, and a relatively minimal amount in the total scheme of things for indigent defense, ranging from $13,000 to $36,000. The only amendment necessary to the bill to move it to full committee, assuming you would adopt the gag six amendments, would be to that would appropriate the $146,000 to the emergency fund for allocation to the Department of Corrections, if necessary, for population management issues.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator
Hanna. Could I ask a question? It requires maximum 5 years imprisonment and a $100,000 fine or both. Now, this is to an existing inmate.
To an existing inmate.
How would an existing inmate make $100,000 to pay for a fine?
Well, I don't know. You could be in prison and that'd be pocket change for you. So.
Well, I can see we're not going too far today. No. What happens if there's no cost recovery? And the reason I'm asking is, this is general fund money that we're putting up, but I would assume that the fine would go into the general fund. Isn't that correct?
Approximately half of it ends up in the general fund.
Okay, so it's kind of a self-sustaining thing, except if we don't recover it, we don't generate it.
That's correct. Chair Westman, Senator Hannon, it is primarily looked upon as a general fund obligation. I believe there's very little opportunity for recovery through funds for inmates that are either currently in jail or in prison.
So when you show a $1.5 million fiscal impact for 2001, 2003, how much of that is predicated upon recovery?
Chair Westman and Senator Hammond, based on the fiscal impact, we are not anticipating any revenue, offsetting revenue from fines at this time. This would be based purely on anticipating punishment without any particular revenue source from fines.
So this is assuming that we receive nothing in return?
That's correct.
Okay. That's all I wanted to do was get it on the record. If we're not creating revenue to pay for this program. It's coming out of general fund dollars.
And I think there could be some. I mean, minimal amounts. But because of the actions of the inmate, may make a canteen account, attach his canteen accounts. I mean, there would be some financial inconvenience, but the impact on this $1.5 million would be negligible.
Okay.
We don't attack their canteen accounts now, but we ask them to do that when we're on the campus. So hopefully they will do that. My question is,
we take out and amend the bill, so we take out the adult correctional officer.
And I'm just wondering, I guess maybe that was done for the fiscal impact, but it doesn't make any sense to me why we have when a youth assaults someone at their correctional facility that you charge them with a felony, and if an adult assault someone at a correctional facility, you charge them with an A misdemeanor. This would be a very unique area of, I think would be a fairly unique area of the law, but for sex crimes. I'm just wondering, from a public policy standpoint, why we're making that distinction, taking it out altogether. So from the scoring lines 20 through 22 on page 1. So I just wondered what the, I wish Representative Mannix was. I don't know what the wisdom is in doing that. I think it creates a,
relates to fiscal impact. We had a completely separate bill related to which would cover
obviously correctional officers as well as all public safety officers, and the question is public safety officer, and then it's fiscal or $3 million the first year. But I guess my concern is it treats youth differently than it does adults. I don't mind treating them the same, but it treats youth differently than it does adults, and the adults are probably the ones that are, I would hope, maybe that's not the case with the people that are incarcerated, but the adults are probably the more rational people to do that, and the youth are not, and we're subjecting them to, a fairly severe... I just don't know if this is the best public policy to create two tiers. That would be my question for Representative Mannix, and then I'd be interested to know if he didn't. I think the feces saliva throwing piece was the original intent of the bill. Okay. So I'm just wondering what the fiscal then does if you take that youth piece out. It seems like we're punishing these people. Do you have an idea what that would take you?
I'm not sure I'll try to comment to that.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Criminal Justice Commission, the current law provides that physical assault on youth corrections officer is a Class D felony of Class 3. This bill would have equalized that for adult corrections officers. So the change that you see in the amendment just restores status quo on the physical assault but increases the penalties for bodily substance abuse.
So all we're maintaining, so that's the current state.
All the A6s do is increase the penalty for bodily substance assaults.
Or even do juvenile crimes.
Mr. Chairman, Phil, before you get away, I noticed this is A6 amendment. Was this issue raised in the House Judiciary Criminal Committee?
About whether to split them?
Yeah.
I believe that there was discussion on both types of assaults. We wanted to have both types of assaults covered. And then as it came down here in the discussions on what was affordable and subject to passage by this committee, we narrowed to the bodily substance.
But I can...
There's
not. I think
correctly.
What would happen if I'm an adult offender in a correctional facility and I attack the guard without using feces or saliva or whatever else, but I physically attack the guard? Does this pertain to me?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hannah, my understanding is that this does not change the law on those types of assaults, and it depends on what your intent was, whether a weapon was used, and the type of injuries you caused.
Okay.
The original bill would have increased the penalty for any type of assault on an adult corrections officer.
The only thing I'm trying to find out, Phil, is how come this amendment, we get accused of being the substantive committee instead of the Ways and Means Committee, and every time an amendment comes in, I'm always wary of why it wasn't discussed in the substantive committee rather than waiting until it got down to Ways and Means, and then all of a sudden this magical amendment occurred?
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator, all I can tell you is that my office is asked to cost out, estimate the cost of different amendments and bills as they are proposed. And the mechanics behind that and whether the Ways and Means Committee is doing the right thing or the wrong thing by other members is something I don't feel in a position to really respond to.
So, in other words, what you're saying, if we don't adopt these amendments, it's a $3 million fiscal impact.
That's my understanding.
Thank you. One of the sponsors here, maybe
that's
the best
suggestion
to him as well.
Mr. Chairman, if I can, then a good representative. The amendment, the dash six, were those raised in the committee?
Sure answer is I don't know, but I'm looking at
the paper. Let's leave it in the brief. The impact of those dash six amendments over the night is to maintain the assault-free charge for propelling substances, but allow assault to maintain the status quo. In other words, they have to stand on their merits based on the nature of the assault as to whether they rise to the level of a class to felony or not. So, in effect, it eliminates some of the fiscal impact, but actually reduces it approximately in half.
So the question that raised, Mr. Chairman, if I can, Representative, was it shows 146,000 fiscal impact for this by any 1.5 million in the next biennium. My question was that $3 million then for the next biennium if we don't adopt the amendment?
That's correct.
I think we showed the $3 million this biennium.
It was, I have a copy of the previous fiscal. It was, without this amendment, approximately $250,000 this biennium and approximately $3.2 million next biennium.
Shows $146,000
a year. Good. It's without the amendment. This fiscal, I believe, is predicated on the amendment. So I believe the fiscal, yes, the fiscal before you has a dash A6 assumption.
Okay. You're dealing with the death penalty down the hall, so
pardon
I'm trying to transpose my mind here.
Okay, thanks. So I understand what's going on there. So the fiscal we have here before us applies to the amendments. And the original bill that included the fiscal assault on adult corrections officers would have had a higher fiscal, the 250 and 3 mil that you're talking about.
That's before.
Can I ask a question about how, so it seems like the gist of the bill now is that we're going to make sure there's a penalty on youth offenders for propelling dangerous substances. That's what this bill is really all about at this point in time, if we adopt the amendments.
Youth and adults?
Youth and both.
Okay. So adults would also be taken in under the current amendment. That's a follow-up question?
Sure.
Is there's no penalty now for adults propelling these dangerous substances, is that correct?
No.
I'm not aware of what the level of offense is.
There might be some penalty, but it's not a death story.
Potentially, you can charge them, but it's so difficult to prove. Question. I would assume that this is much more of a problem with adult offenders than it is for the youth offenders, or
youth officers. If you go out here to State Street in the segregation area, you'll see a bunch of 17, 18, 19-year-olds. Those aren't exactly adults.
Well,
and they're acting worse than adults. They're acting worse than animals.
Technically, however, they are in the adult kids.
Right. Yeah, because they're outgrowing their capacity to use correctional facilities.
Representative Patrick?
Well, I understand. I'll finish. Let's have a sentence.
All right. I think we have a pretty clear understanding.
What we're doing is maintaining the assault laws, you know, as they currently stand, and creating an offense of in the popular vernacular slimy for both youth and adults. That's what this bill does. That's all this bill does.
But I understand that. I'll support the bill. My concern is we start carving out these special exceptions. The juvenile piece that I pointed out, it's an existing law. I don't think it's probably the best
years. You know, maybe that was, maybe there was some fiscal that was done to just bring juvenile assaults in there. I don't think it was the best public policy to do it, you know, and to carve out just corrections officers. I think police officers is much more of a larger problem.
Well, I agree with Representative Backers. It's simply a matter of incremental improvement in the public safety system. And we lay the bricks when the bricks are available, and sometimes we don't have enough mortar to put in as many bricks as we want.
Great.
And
do we have anyone in the audience who wants to testify? Seeing none, we will end the public hearing and convene the work session on House Bill 2073.
Back up a minute and just be clear that there was no one who wanted to testify. I saw some body movement forward.
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Hold on.
I'm just trying to assist with this. Senator Werbe, if I may, I think this was something that Representative Tom Mason did back in 1989 when he said, do you want to testify in favor of this bill or do you want us to get to it and pass it out? I'm just suggesting that I think that they're here encouraging us to move. I don't think there's anyone who wants us to slow down or stop. And they need to leave the room very quickly before the bill can get out. That's the only reason we're here.
With all due respect, I was directing my comment over there. I want to know if folks want to speak or not. If you don't, fine, but if they want to speak, I would like to know that they have an opportunity to do that before the gavel breaks down.
Fair enough.
While we are in work session, does anyone want to speak on this bill? That's a genuine request. It's not a, I really banged this out of a public hearing and I'm inferring you should not testify. That's the last thing I'm saying. If anyone really wants to testify, we have the time, assuming we don't get called away.
Probably wouldn't be productive.
I think all the members here were stakeholders in this bill. Everyone here supports it, knows exactly what's going on. Is that a correct assumption? Look at all those heads waving up and down. That's great.
Thank you.
You are more than welcome. And we are in work session.
Yes, sir.
Sir,
I would move the House Bill 2273-86 amendment and amend the A and Gross House Bill 2273.
Any discussion?
Any objections to amending House Bill 2273?
Seeing none, so ordered.
Then I would add the LFO recommendations on the language that would put the expenditure limitation in, the prison forecast, prison population forecast, and management issues, and put the money unallocated and unobligated by the e-board on November 1st, 2000.
Would become available for any purpose which the e-board may lawfully allocate funds.
Senator Hannon moves the LFO recommendation into House Bill 2273. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, I would move A and Gross House Bill 2273 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a D-class recommendation.
Senator Hannon moves A and Gross House Bill 2273 as amended to the full committee with a D-class recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. We move the carrier outside. Representative Manning.
Yeah, I got
it. Senate side. Dan Polk.
Yeah, that's fine.
Off the go. Any further discussion? On the state. And we are
What do you need to
know?
You might
want to
mind
that.
Sunday.